For our final segment, we are joined by David King, editor and associate publisher of the Alt Magazine, the music editor, Katie Kuzak, and news editor, Luke Stoddard-Nathan. Welcome.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, great. Thank you.
You need to be, when you talk, you need to be about this close.
Okay.
So tell us about the Alt.
We started around last November. We're an alternative news weekly that is in some ways filling the void created when Metroland went under a few years ago, the old alternative news weekly. We focus on covering the arts and entertainment and doing a lot of in-depth reporting and investigative reporting.
So what's new in this week's issue?
A lot of things. We've been focused a lot on Albany lately, and as you know, that it's sort of known for corruption and scandal, and there's a lot of that going on, which isn't exactly surprising. But to start with, we noticed this week that the state senate, which has faced a lot of sexual harassment issues in the past, just added a new portion to their sexual harassment policy that really harps on the idea that you're going to get in trouble if you make up an accusation that's false. And this was striking to us given that there is now this large sexual harassment claim against one of the heads of the legislature. So it was very striking because I've spent a lot of time in the legislature in my career, and all of us here have covered the legislature, and we know that there's a real problem with sexual harassment. And to see them sort of move in this blatant way during a time when these issues are being harassed, I think was striking to us. And I think it's something that should be pointed out to voters that in this time when so many people are fighting for their rights and fighting to be heard, that suddenly the state Senate is doing more to sort of scare folks off. And I think Katie can talk to some of her experiences with
just Katie, go ahead.
Talking to some of the reporters and
I want to say, Katie, I saw the magazine this week, and I saw that it's quite an extensive article. Thank you.
Oh, for the sanctuary piece?
No, for the sexual.
That was actually by another by a freelancer.
Yeah.
But yes,
okay.
Katie and I have visited Albany to find ourselves confronted by actual sexual harassment in progress. So,
right.
And Katie's actually spoken to a number of people off the record about what it's like to work in the Capitol, and I think she's found some.
Yeah, I think, off the saying that, you know, they choose to speak off the record is an important point to make, is that people still aren't comfortable talking about their experiences yet and opening up about what's really happened to them when they're trying to do their jobs just like everybody else. So it's something that's we still have to face, even though it seems like we're making a lot of progress in this area. And obviously it's something that's close to home, even though it seems like this really big national, hopefully global movement that continues. So, hopefully we can continue to shed some light on that, especially at a local level in Albany and in our local government.
One of the other things that we're focused on, the governor who is up for re-election, Governor Andrew Cuomo, he's up for re-election this fall, and I think everyone knows he has his eyes set on the presidency. Right now, one of the biggest corruption trials, I think, in the history of the state is going on, and it involves his closest friend, someone that he said his father thought of as a third son, someone who the governor kept by his side throughout all his political life and a lot of his private life as well. So Luke has actually been covering the trial and has done a lot of dirt. He revealed he had some big scoops early on last year about how the feds had information that this man, Joseph Percoco, was the governor's best friend, routinely called high-level members of the state government and threatened them. And, you know, told them they could lose their jobs or, you know, et cetera, et cetera. He was known to be a bit of a bully. So today we got a lot of new information on that in the trial. And just some commentary of my own, I think it reflects very poorly on the governor. But Luke could probably talk to more
Well, so just to back up for a second, the gist against the former aide's name, Joseph Rococo, is that he took bribes. That's the allegation. That he took bribes from two real estate executives and also from an energy company executive. And the bribes totaled upwards of about $300,000. And that in exchange for receiving these bribes, Joseph Rococo took certain actions that benefited the companies that these lobbyists or these executives represented. And, you know, there was a lot of speculation as this case was going to trial. And we're in our second week now of the trial this week. They're sort of wondering what's going to come out of this trial, what sort of new allegations or new details are going to emerge from this trial. And one of the most interesting things that I just sort of picked out, or that has come up this week or maybe last week, was that when Joseph Rococo left state service to help run the governor's reelection campaign, it actually has materialized that he kind of stayed in office, or he kept using his state office even though he was out of state government, and that he was using government resources while he was kind of technically out of state service. So that's sort of something interesting to watch, kind of as the trial kind of progresses.
Yeah, I mean, this is a guy who left the governor's office technically and took another job later, actually, and was working for Madison Square Garden. And still, while working for Madison Square Garden, he was showing up at the governor's side during rallies. He was bullying press. He was calling donors to look for donations. And, you know, the point is you can't be working a campaign and be in, you know, also serve an incumbent. But it also seemed like it went to another level where he was working with people who had business in front of the state and also working as an enforcer for the governor. But there's still tension about whether we see the governor himself being called to testify. I think it's doubtful, but he's on the witness list. So,
well, one of the things I really appreciate is that you really have good news. I mean, really well-developed news. I'm a lifelong member of living in downtown Troy, so I really like seeing that it's fully developed journalism when you talk about Troy.
Yeah, I mean, one of the stories we've been following is the eminent domain procedure as it unfolds by the Uncle Sam parking garage. I don't know if you guys have followed that at
all. The Capital District Transportation Authority bus.
Yes, you know, they've been trying to get a bus station built or a new sort of high-speed transit hub built kind of around where the David Bryce's parking garage is down in downtown Troy. And they've been negotiating for a number of years, and we recently reported that the CDTA has begun to proceed in an eminent domain procedure to obtain space to be able to build that bus stop. And David Bryce, the real estate developer, has brought a lawsuit to kind of challenge that taking. So that's kind of unfolding as it happens.
What I mentioned, David Bryce bought the Troy Atrium parking garage. It was had major maintenance issues, and the city realized that they really couldn't afford to fix it, and so they sold it to David Bryce, and he rehabilitated it and added an extra floor on it.
Yeah.
That's why he owns it at the moment.
It's a really interesting kind of debate, you know, because I think that both parties agree, both CDTA and David Bryce both seem to want to move the project forward, but it seems to be kind of floundering for a number of years, so something to watch.
What are the challenges of running the alt in the current media environment?
The challenges are that we have limited funds and that we have to break through the Facebook algorithm and all of that. But there are some unique opportunities, I think, that we have because of our design. I think we've read a lot about the flaws in alt weeklies and how the cell phone has replaced the alt weekly and those sort of stories with the voice no longer printing and things like that. But it's been interesting to discover that because of the rest of the media sort of downsizing, because the Times Union has fewer staffers, because there are fewer print journalists, and I forgive me, but I do think print journalists do better work than television journalists. But because of that, we have a lot of space to work in, and there are stories available to us that might have been harder to get if in another period of time. And then on top of that, being an alt-weekly, we cover entertainment, we cover arts. We want to bring folks together on that. We want to legitimize arts. But at the same time, that gives us a little room to let Luke work on large investigative stories and put in months at a time on issues. And it gives us time to dive deep into things that we really think are important. It's a luxury that a lot of journalists don't have anymore. So that's the refreshing part of what we do.
So did you start after the Metrolands stopped printing?
We did. We started not last year, but the year before. And I actually got my journalism start at Metroland as an intern. I was there early 2000s and sort of watched it and all the issues it had. And went on and thought, wow, it would be really nice to make this work somehow. And somehow I got that chance. It's a little miraculous, but...
In terms of distribution, where does I walk around town and I see the alt, but I mean, it's kind of like here and there. Where would I, in general, if I was out looking for one, look?
Well, we distribute to 25,000. I'm sorry, we distribute 25,000 copies. I'm not sure the current number of locations, but you can visit thealt.com and we have a distribution site. But we mainly focus on. I mean, you can find us in the suburbs, but if you're really looking for us, the best bet is downtown cafes, bars, music venues, and places like that.
The city of Troy lobby. Yeah, has it.
Yeah. We've actually found city halls like us. It's odd. We haven't been kicked out of one yet. We're waiting.
So the word the alt, does that stand for something?
It's just short for the Alt Weekly. I wasn't involved in naming the paper, but this is all developed and branded before the alt became a shorthand for the alt-right. Mm-hmm. I think for the folks who put it together, it was shorthand for Alt Weekly. I think it was sort of supposed to be ubiquitous and like, we're the Alt Weekly. There's no other. The alternative. And you do have to remember the alternative left and alt media was more of a thing long before the alt-right ever existed. We did get some press back from folks who were concerned about that. And funny enough, we got a lot of praise from the alt-right until they read our articles, which was a hoot. So it presented some challenges and we had some articles written about us. And in the end, I think, what the publishers have said to us is that we'll be around a lot longer than the word the alt, the alt-right, that is. So I hope so.
Hopefully. You were discussing the corruption trial. What other news items do you see looming on the horizon?
Well, Luke actually had a pretty big scoop that the Times Union just reported today, and they referenced our work. But Luke, do you want to sort of talk about?
Yeah, very, very briefly. There's a new Amtrak train station being built in Schenectady, and it's rather complicated. But the gist is that the construction is beginning just now. The contractor that is building that train station was recently thrown off another project really at the Harriman campus about a few months before it was awarded this contract by the Department of Transportation to build this train station. And so I kind of luckily stumbled upon this item, and we reported it, and then the Daily Gazette picked it up, and then the Times Union just mentioned it just before we got on the air. So.
And Luke is sort of modest about this in some ways, or at least he won't sensationalize it. And it deserves a little sensationalizing because these folks actually, the job was so badly botched that the water was actually tainted with lead on this, in the Harriman project, campus. And people were so concerned that there was a hearing about, should we really give these guys this contract? Look how badly they botched this. And the hearings are ongoing right now. So I think it should be a concern to folks that a project this big for not only Schenectady but the Capital Region's transportation corridor is in the hands of a group that that has proved that it couldn't be held responsible for doing this project. And they do have a lot of excuses and they put forward a lot of reasons that they weren't successful in this project. But at the same time, the idea that there were only two people that bid, I believe, was
yep. –
And they won. It's a little weird because it's a big, prestigious contract.
Having been in the area for a long time and also having worked for a while for of politically connected real estate lawyers, it's really clear that we do need to watch all of our government, participate in all of our government. Yeah. So I really appreciate that. But you also do other kinds of things, not just political things.
Yeah. This week, we actually tried to have a little fun. We're doing our winter guide, sort of about how to stay sane in the winter in the capital region. And maybe that could have been a little more useful during the sub-zero temperatures. But Katie had two really interesting pieces, one about foraging and one about some of the best comfort dishes to make it through the winter. So, Katie, if you want to.
Yeah, I had the opportunity to talk to David Muska. He's a local like nature guide in the area, and he does a lot of foraging classes and foraging apprenticeships. So he sort of talked me through some of the main things that you can find when you're out digging around. He did reiterate that you should only do so on your private property or somewhere where you can actually, it's like an allotted area for people to go foraging on, because there are some pretty strict regulations.
Your other project too?
And the other project that I did was the comfort foods around the region. I just talked to a lot of chefs about sort of the main dishes that they have to offer. So you should check that out if you want to find some good comfort food menu items in the local area.
I'm so delighted. Are you coming back other Tuesdays, do you think?
Yeah, we're planning on it.
That's wonderful. That's David King, editor and associate publisher of the Alt Weekly magazine, and the music editor, Katie Cusack, and news editor, Luke Stoddard-Nathan. You can find The Alt on local newsstands and on the tables in local cafes and public buildings throughout the capital region and online at thealt.com.